Welcome back to the Gamer Heroes Podcast. I'm your regular host, John, with our co-host, my buddy and co-host, Derek. How's it going, man?
It's good, dude. It's good. It's been a crazy week for games.
Oh, you're telling me. E3 revealed a lot of things that we had anticipated and a lot of things that we didn't anticipate. So we have a big year coming up. 2019 seems to be like when everything's releasing, it feels like. But this year has a lot of big titles coming out as well. Some that were very surprising and some, like I said, we knew was coming, and some very even faster than we expected. So let's just dive right in, man. So in case you guys didn't know, last week, basically Wednesday through Tuesday, I want to say, was all E3 coverage. Of course, all the big companies, Bethesda, EA, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, they all had their own conference where they revealed new games, showed us some gameplay of games that we've been waiting for years. So I'm going to dive right in, man. Let's start with Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda probably, them and Microsoft probably had the two best showings from a conference level.
Really? Because I actually disagree with that.
Oh,
I think,
man.
I think Sony won E3 this year.
No, I highly disagree. But we'll get to Sony.
Why?
We'll get to Sony.
Yeah,
well, we'll get there. So Bethesda showed off a bunch of stuff. So one piece was really exciting, and that was the announcement of Starfield, which is their first new IP in over 25 years. So that's a big deal, because we've seen basically the same franchises from them for the last quarter of a century, and that's not a bad thing, right? We've had some great games in that, but this is brand new stuff.
Bethesda's a heavy hitter, man. Ever since they, honestly, once they started taking over the Oblivion, that kind of put them on the map. They've been a heavy hitter since.
So this is a big deal. It's a space sci-fi RPG. We know next to nothing about it. It's in pre-production officially. So this is something we are probably not going to see until 2020 at the earliest.
Right.
I think,
and
that
it's
would
new.
Be... Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not like Mass Effect or a sequel. This is a real original project, which is great.
It is. And this means that 2020, I think, would be very optimistic, since this is brand new. And for all we know, it might even end up running on a totally different engine with completely different physics. We don't know yet, because it's in pre-production. But it's far off, but it's exciting, because this is something nobody saw coming. You know, right. Nobody expected a brand new IP from Bethesda, and that's what we got. So that in itself is a really big deal for me.
I totally agree with you on that aspect. Sure, you're right. Sony did not come with nothing new to the table, but the things that they did release were very big, in my opinion. But yeah, I can see where Bethesda gets a point for Starfield.
Now, I think Bethesda gets a few more points for the rest of their announcements, though. We, of course, got the announcement of Elder Scrolls 6, which is currently in production and is in a, quote, playable state. So this is something that we will probably see in 2020. That's realistic. Maybe end of 2019, I think, would be unlikely, but possible if things go well. But either way, we have an Elder Scrolls 6 coming down the pipe, which I think is a highly anticipated game.
And that's kind of like, it's a little bit of a surprise, honestly, because personally, I thought they were going to do another expansion or, I don't know, they were going to build on, because I feel like Elder Scrolls Online kind of flopped, to be honest with you. So I thought they were going to try to rejuvenate that, but a whole new game is great. New portion.
Skyrim has been a highly successful game.
I'm talking about the online portion, particularly. Elder Scrolls Online has done pretty bad, because they re-released that here, you know, earlier in the year or last year.
But Elder Scrolls is a different thing. It's an MMO, right?
Right.
And Skyrim's been out now for almost 7 years, and I think people have been really
hoping. Still one of the top.
Yeah, and it's been re-released, right? I mean, this was a previous gen console. This came out on 360, and of course now it's available on Xbox One and PS4 and now Switch. as well as PC. I think people were hoping to see something for an Elder Scroll, and the fact that it's in a playable state is promising, even though we didn't really get to see it. So yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's... I don't know what they're going to... Like, these games that are so far out... Like, 2019, I feel, is within grasp. That's not even that long to wait. But 2020 or further than that, I feel technology is going to change in the next 2 years. By that time, who knows, you know? So it's kind of... It's always kind of... I get a little skeptical of games out that far.
Well, it depends on the game. Like, so Elder Scrolls 6 will be a current-gen game. That's going to be a PS4, Xbox One, you know, game. Starfield's not. Starfield is a next-gen game. That's going to be your PS5 and your Xbox whatever. But those consoles aren't going to be coming until 2021.
Yeah. How crazy is that we finally got some, I'd say some meat on that. And it is, I'd say that's confirmed, right? That's both of them are working on a next-gen.
Well, yeah, but we've had this conversation before. They're always working
on it. They've been doing it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, they were no doing company... it when they released, you know, their recent ones, yeah.
Yeah, so no company has ever not been working on the next gen unless they were about to go bankrupt, right? So we knew that, but now we have an idea of when this is happening. We have an idea that it's going to be probably within the next 3 years.
I wonder if Microsoft... is going to really come out with a bang now and hold nothing back, because they kind of lost pretty hard in the console war this time around.
Well, they've done some things to combat that. Part of what they announced at their conference, which we'll get to, is that they bought 5 indie studios.
Yeah.
You know, to make more first party content. And that's the big thing, is from a hardware perspective, they have better hardware right now than Sony does. But they don't have the game base. They don't have the exclusive titles that people are going for. And that's where they're really hurt right now. But back to Bethesda, because there's still more stuff there.
Yeah, we'll get to... I want to talk about Doom, man. How about that trailer? I mean, we didn't really see much. We see that our Doom Slayer is clearly in... Looks like one of the Hell Realms again. And it looks cool. I mean, looks like some pretty tough demons in there. So... A lot of these were pretty short trailers, some of the ones we're going to cover today. But, hey, I was not expecting a sequel that quick, I guess. I mean, I know it came out in 2016, but considering that it just released on Switch and it's kind of picking up momentum again, it's cool to see that Doom is still going strong.
Yeah, so it's Doom Eternal. It's really definitely a teaser trailer. More of a teaser than what we got with Elder Scrolls 6 or Starfield, sure. Of course. But that's because Doom is coming out soon. You know. So, yeah, we have no idea what it looks like. It's a 2019 title. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no gameplay or anything like that yet. But there is some speculation that the title, Doom Eternal, may play a bit into the concept of games as a service. Rather than a standard sequel, this might see more of an evolving world with continued DLC and things like that, to see this game grow over time rather than it being just another iteration as we've seen in the past.
That would be cool. If they did that and they didn't charge us like loot boxes and stupid shit like that, I think that could be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of a games as a service would be where it's got consistent DLC or some type of subscription model with a season pass or something. And that's possible. I'm not sure that the name alone is enough to really go off of there, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it really to cover for Doom. Fallout, obviously. Fallout, we got teased on Wednesday or Tuesday of last week. And with nothing, and then we got a trailer, and we got a little bit more this time around. Yeah. What do you think, man?
The more I learn about this game, the less I'm excited about it.
Why?
So...
You know I gotta ask.
So I liked the idea of it being a online group squad type, maybe Destiny type game. I like that because the idea of playing with you and some of my other friends and, you know, maybe the girl was a compelling thing, because Fallout, the games are so huge. They're and this huge. Game is supposed to be so much bigger than 4 from a map perspective, about 4 times the size of the map in That's Fallout crazy. 4. Yeah, it's massive, right? I don't want to do that all by myself. It's just not for me. I wanted to share that experience. And when it was this idea that it came out that you're going to build shelters and you can do it together, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. But then it came out that you could, well, now you can nuke each other. I'm like, well, okay. So then you're telling me you and me and our buddies could spend like 50 hours building this killer shelter and some jackass troll just nukes us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, well, that's not really appealing. And then it comes out that there are no NPCs in this other than the monsters.
Which is crazy to me, because you're solely banking that that many people are going to play the game, right?
Well, no, it's not even that, because the servers are going to be kept small.
So then how many people are going to be in this huge map, you know?
I think the idea is to keep people spread out so you don't have a too much conflict. But then it's also coming out that, at least at launch, there's no real story. It's really just a survival game. And I'm not saying that that in itself is bad, but that is not interesting to me.
I agree with you, everything you just said. So I was just trying to play devil's advocate. Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. It's unappealing to me in the aspect that if I want to play a survival game, I'm going to play Days Gone, or I'm going to play, I don't know, that new Division game looked pretty cool. I'm going to play a whole bunch of other games that are already out that are very much like that, and I don't need to play Fallout to do that, is what I'm saying. So in my opinion, what did we really bring to the table that's different, other than the fact that it's all online, you know?
I mean, that's the thing, right? It is an online experience. I guess the time frame is different because it's much closer to the actual drop of the nukes. The graphics will be improved from Fallout 4.
And that's so substantial. That's so minuscule, because 4 is, you know, that's current gen right now. And it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't mean to insult 4, because 4 is a beautiful game.
But how much better is what I'm trying to say, is how much better can you really get?
No, I'm with you there. I totally agree with you. I will say the collector's edition box set for Fallout 76 is an improvement over the already impressive collector's edition of Fallout 4.
That is
so
true.
In this one, you get the power armor helmet, you get a bunch of figures, there's some other things that are in there, there's a lot of physical stuff, and it's not even really that much more expensive. It's $200 instead of $150. I had estimated when we talked previously that it would be like $250, maybe even $300. And so, you know, if that's your thing, by all means, you know, get it, enjoy it. I hope it's a successful experience for you. I just don't think this is my kind of game.
I think that's a pretty damn cool, you know, exclusive master pack, whatever you want to call it. That's pretty damn cool, because most of the time, like my experience, if you guys have listened in previous episodes, it's always a shitty figure or a statue is usually what I go for. And this is pretty cool. It's a full scale wearable helmet that has lights and sounds and a voice modulator. So that's pretty darn cool.
It is. And if you got the collector's edition of Fallout 4, then you've got the Pip-Boy to go with it. So it's a nice set that they're putting together, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. But like I said, as far as hype goes, it's not something with the list that we have coming. The more games we're about to cover in this episode, I'm more excited for those than I am this game.
Yes, I'm with you. This is, of everything that Bethesda announced, this was
the
probably
bottom.
At the bottom of the list. I don't really care about Rage 2. I never played the first one, so I have no frame of reference here.
Same.
You know, so it's nothing against the game. I don't know. But Fallout 76, I was hyped. And then the more I hear about it, the less interested I am.
Right. Right. Well, I'm going to segue into Wolfenstein Youngblood, which, woo, cool cinematic trailer. It had, you know, we didn't really see much, but we know that it is the daughters, and he's clearly training them, and they're badass. They kick ass, his daughters.
Oh, yeah.
So, so the game will center around, is it CJ? CJ is two.
Blazkowicz, BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ, thank you.
Is the main guy in the first two Wolfenstein games and the small side mission as well. That's like the prequel story. And these are his daughters. He has twin daughters, and this game will take place in the 80s.
It might as well have been a movie because it was that cool.
I love these games, and you know, maybe it's just the fact that I'm Jewish and shooting a bunch of Nazis just feels really good. It just does, man. You know, punch a Nazi.
It just feels great. For me, I like the I love alternate history when it's done right, and yeah. It's really cool what they've done. So it's a cool universe, is what I'm saying. This one's more hype for me because, drum roll, it is co-op. It's going to be local co-op.
Yes. Yes, because of the twins. You each get to play as one of the twins.
How awesome is that?
Super cool. I'm really excited about this, and I want to circle back on the co-op thing when we're done talking about Wolfenstein, but I just think that just sounds really exciting to be able to play with somebody else that's just these siblings that are together, and it's in the 80s, so it's a different time frame. It's farther into the future.
They said 84. Was that the time frame they were looking for?
I didn't catch the exact year. That I don't know if that's maybe just because it's Wonder Woman 1984.
Is that what stuck in my head?
Yeah, I think it's just Wonder Woman's 1984. This is just 80s. I don't think we had an exact year yet. But yeah, I mean, this just, it seems really cool. What's interesting about this one is this is kind of a, expansion's not really the right words. It's a standalone title, but it's not a full-fledged game. So it's only a $30 title. This is not a $60 title. So I would expect this game to be more like maybe 6 to 10 hours of content.
That's what I was going to say. It's not going to be a lot. Yeah. But enough to play. Yeah, that's enough to play with your friend and have a lot of fun doing it.
Yes.
And again, this is another title we're looking in 2019. So
yeah,
a lot of the games we're going to cover are coming out next year, which just, you know.
Well, that's okay, though. I feel like it's in every other year cycle, right? Like in 2017, we had Horizon Zero Dawn, Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey. You just had these massive titles that came out and shook the gaming industry. You know, Assassin's Creed Origins, for example, Destiny 2.
God of War.
God of War was this year.
I'm sorry. Yes. 2018 so this year, has actually been a little dry.
That's what I'm saying, right? You've got God of War, and you'll have Spider-Man, and there'll be Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which we'll talk about in a bit.
I cannot wait to talk about that one.
But, you know, I feel like it kind of waves, right? And so 2019, you're going to see, I think, some more titles.
Spring is going to be fucking nuts in 2019, is all I can say. Spring is going to be, I don't even know, man. Like,
and whoever, well, we already got a bunch of stuff announced for January and February. I mean, between, you know, Kingdom Hearts and Anthem and Days Gone and Crackdown 3, you know, January, the last week of January through the end of February is going to be just crazy.
Well, that's exciting. So that, again, I'm always down for another good cooperative game. So that is what I look for. If you want my money quick, make a good cooperative game. You'll have my money.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Well, I think that was it from Bethesda, but yeah. You know, we didn't even touch every title. Like I said, you know, they announced Rage 2 and that sort of thing, but between Doom Eternal, Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 76, Starfield, and Wolfenstein Young Blood, it's a pretty good conference.
It's a lot going on. That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
You know, cause like we're going to want to buy 4 of those games, you know? So that's kind of, it's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's it for Bethesda. EA did not have a whole lot that was super exciting. Yes, we got a release date for Anthem.
They got all their money in Anthem. And personally, Anthem looks like a dumbed down version of Destiny, in my opinion. There's a lot of cool aspects to it. Everyone gets a power suit and you're bounty hunters, but it looks like it's going to be another online to play game, right?
Yes.
So it's weird how that's like the future. In fact, I believe they said
it requires online, if I remember correctly.
It does, yeah. So you have to have internet connection to play this game. And it's just kind of, sure, they learned their lesson. They're definitely not doing loot crates this time around. They made that very clear.
They said that any cosmetic stuff you would just straight up purchase.
Exactly. And I think they've learned their lesson.
Yeah, I mean, look.
It looks cool, but it's just not captivating for me.
EA gets a lot of crap in the community, and the way they've handled loot boxes and stuff, you know, has not been great in the past. I appreciate that they're trying other things. But they do some things really well. And one thing to note is how they're handling Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
It's a World War II shooter, and they have decided to include women in the game as playable characters and people that are part of the group, and things of that nature. And I really appreciate that they're doing that, number one. Number two, I really appreciate how they've handled what the negative backlash has been because of the troll, chauvinistic gatekeepers of the gaming community just can't have women in their shooters for some reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, Bethesda's doing that. The two are leads. I'm just saying, like, women is a theme, yeah. Clearly.
No, it is. But the chief creative officer of EA came out and basically said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but actually, you know what? I'm just going to find the quote. Let me find the quote right here.
I want to add, too, that Gears 5 is centering around a woman this year, too.
Which one?
Gears 5.
Gears 5, yeah.
And Last of Us Part 2 would be following Ellie. So I'm just saying, most of the games we have coming out are going to be following a woman.
So this is the chief creative officer of EA. And this is, I'm just going to quote him here. We stand up for the cause because I think those people who don't understand it, well, you have two choices. Either accept it or don't buy the game. I'm fine with either or. And I appreciate that. Yeah. He's basically saying, look, this is the game we decided to make. And you know, part of the story that I didn't quote there is the fact that, you know, his daughter, who is 13, didn't understand the negativity around having women in this game, because she can play as a woman in Fortnite, which is a massively popular game right now that is a shooter as well. Obviously, it's a different type of shooter. That's not the point. But you know, I appreciate that EA's creative chief basically comes out and says, look, this is what we're doing. We're trying to, you know, balance the playing field and be inclusive. If you don't like it, then get the fuck out.
I think that's a good stance, and I the other companies are doing it without saying it out loud, of course, but I think that is a good statement to make, and it's a very valid point, and someone has to say it because people need to get over this.
Well, Battlefield's been getting a little more hate than, like, Wolfenstein, for example, because it takes Battlefield 5 takes place during World War
Women,
II.
Women were a huge part of World War II. So.
Oh, no. I know. Sorry. Where I was going with that is that people are trying to say that women weren't, and they're trying to say that that's what really happened, whereas Wolfenstein takes place in an alternate history future where, like, that's not, it's not as grounded in reality. But Battlefield 5 is also not necessarily grounded in reality, number one. And number two, women were involved.
Absolutely.
So it's all kind of a moot point. But Battlefield 5 has taken the brunt of that criticism, whereas Wolfenstein has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. And maybe that's just because they're used to the trolls, because the main character's Jewish and you've spent your time fighting Nazis. You know, and The Last of Us, well, you know, we already had the first game, and Ellie is a very large part of that game, even if you don't play as her for much.
Well, Gears 5 is centering, the main character is a female, which is great, too. And yes. Then, even to push that even further, Assassin's Creed this time is actually letting you play as a woman as well.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed, her name will be Cassandra with a K, or you can play Alexios, which is a guy. They're basically the same character, and this game is, we'll talk about it in a little bit here, but basically what I'm saying, though, is they've made it equal, and you can play either one, so no one gets a better story.
Awesome. Well, that's fantastic. So, yeah, so let's move on to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Microsoft, I think, had a great conference. They announced a bunch of stuff. They showed a bunch of stuff. Some of it, you know, was expected. They, out of left field, announced that they're making a new Battletoads game.
I thought that was cool.
Surreal. I mean, I'm excited about it, but, like, if you had asked me to list, like, 50 things that Microsoft was going to announce, Battletoads was not going to be on
the list. I think that was the point. I think they were like, you know what? Let's just throw them off. And it's funny because I've never really played the Battletoads game. And remember when we went to Up Down, it's a local arcade bar situation here in Kansas City. They had Battletoads. I looked at Derek and I go, have you played this? He said, yeah, SNES. And I was like, no way. So I started
playing original NES.
So NES, I was playing it, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like Turtles in Time, but with toes.
a little bit.
So I wonder if they'll keep that up, that vibe.
We'll see. I mean, we know nothing about it other than it's in
It's going to be made.
Yeah. But we got a release date finally for Crackdown 3 starring Terry Crews. We got a trailer. We got some gameplay. So that's coming in February, which I'm excited for because I fucking love Terry Crews.
We love Terry Crews, yeah. He's great.
But the big news came in the form of their two largest first-party franchises, Gears of War and Halo.
Dude, let's talk about Gears of War. Let's get into that. So, as you guys know, if you listened to the previous podcast, I just got an Xbox recently, and I've been going back and playing all of Gears of War games. I'm not quite up to this chapter yet, 4, because it looks like it's a direct sequel. So what do you think about it, Derek?
I am stoked. So for those who have not been following along with us over our 57-episode run, I played all 4 numbered Gears of War games in 2017. I started right before the beginning of 2017, and I've completed all 4 of them in that calendar year. I have not played Judgment Day yet.
You can skip that one.
I don't like the lead. So Gears 4, I think, is the best game in the franchise. Visually, it was stunning, really well done. The gameplay was tight. The mechanics were solid. The story was interesting. The characters were good. The dialogue wasn't as cheesy as previous games, but it was still fun. This game is a direct sequel following Kate, who is the main woman character in Gears 4. This is following her and some of her story because her background is very complicated and we're not quite sure where she comes from. And the trailer for Gears 5, the announcement trailer, certainly makes it seem like maybe she has a connection.
That's what I was taking from it too. And there was a part there nearing the end of the trailer where someone volunteers to go with her on this journey, this quest to, I guess, get answers. And they make it seem like he's maybe there for an execution of her.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of questions that announcement trailer brought up, but the game looks really good, assuming that that's what the game ends up looking like. I'm excited that they're taking it in a different direction because while Phoenix is just awesome, his son was fine. I thought that his son in Gears 4 is fine, but the best parts of that game are when you're playing as Old Man Phoenix. And at some point, you got to pass the torch, and I don't feel like it was passed particularly well to his son in 4. So I think taking it with Kate in this different direction is a good choice for the franchise.
Well, it looks like they're favoring exploration a little more. It was mainly a cinematic, but very few short seconds exploration gameplay. And you're in this ice cavern, and it looks like you're in a completely different part of this world.
Mm-hmm,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they open things up a little bit. One of the things about the Gears games is that they're third-person shooters, for those who don't know. They're really big on the cover mechanic, and the games are kind of on rails, where there's a path that you can basically take. And there's a little bit of leeway for searching and looking for things like cogs and stuff like that. But more or less, you're following a path. And so I'm kind of hoping they open things up a little bit here, just because from a gaming processing perspective, they can. So I'd like to see them do that. But either way, everything about Gears 5 was positive for me.
Yeah, it looked really good. And I cannot wait to catch up on those and kind of know exactly where this one's going to lead off. Mm-hmm. But they did something weird as well. They announced Gears Pops Mobile. How weird is that?
Yeah, so they announced 3 Gears games, 1 real Gears game, Gears 5.
Which was the last of their of their presentation, of course.
Right, so there's this mobile game where you get to play as Gears of War characters, but they're pop vinyl versions of them. Yeah. If you don't know what pop vinyls are, Funko is the company, and they make these vinyl figures that all have a very specific style, these large heads. And I mean, they have like the licensing rights to almost everything. So there's, you know, there's Gears of War characters, there's Halo characters, Ninja Turtles, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek. It's all over the place. But there's going to be some type of mobile game with that. I mean, whatever. That's
so
fine.
My question, though, it raises a lot of questions for me. Are you trying to appeal to the kids market? Or what market are you trying to appeal to? Because is this going to be gory? Because the Gears games are very gory. Is this going to be comical and fun? Because the trailer seemed kind of comical and fun.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be a much lighter type of game than the regular Gears games. I don't know that it's necessarily directed at kids as much as it's directed as more casual people and playing on your phone, right? This is a mobile game, so it's not going to be, you know, they don't want to run something like a legitimate shooter on here in the Gears style. They're doing something that's a little more cartoony, a little lighter weight, which I get. It's just that's not what I want from Gears of War.
I thought it was just very off the wall in my opinion, too. I was just like, you know, it could be cool, but part of the part that makes Gears good is their unique way that they handle movement and the way they handle cover. So I don't, you're kind of taking all the good stuff away from me is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you're making a game that's like, okay, big headed creatures that, and people, I don't know. And their bodies don't look so big anymore now.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, what are Gears?
It's the opposite.
The bodies of, like, bodybuilders, these little heads. So it's, like, the opposite. So tell me about Gear Tactics. Gears Tactics. That one was weird to me.
So I'm kind of interested in this one. I'm not sold on it yet. I need to see some more.
Exactly.
But it's basically a turn-based tactical game where you play as Gears characters. You've got like a squad and you have missions. I like turn-based games. I like turn-based strategy games, games like XCOM. I find those really interesting. So if this is in that vein, I will be very happy.
I don't like those games. So
so this is not for
it's
you.
Not for me. No, no. That's why I don't play the XCOM. I saw XCOM 2 is currently free on the PSN as we speak June. You can download it. But no, that's why I don't play those games. Like, I want free, like, the Final Fantasy games did that for a long time. And, I want free motion.
Well, Final Fantasy Tactics is supposed to be really good. I have not played it.
Well, you can play it and review it. but yeah, again, they're looks like they're just taking what they have that they know. Hey, this is one of our biggest popular franchises, and they're doing different things with it. So I don't blame them for trying new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that they're trying to branch out a bit. But that was it for Gears. The other big thing, of course, was Halo Infinite.
Hell of a cinematic, except it explained nothing. Like,
well, that was very much on purpose.
Oh, obviously it's a teaser, but like literally it was just, here's the world. Look how cool this looks. People are walking through, you know what I mean? Like they're going through a field. There's a Warthog. And then the very end, and this is where I'm not caught up in the games. I'm playing the Halo games again as well. It seems like Master Chief is standing there with his helmet off, holding it. And he looks pissed. I mean, I guess you don't look at him, but he sounds pissed. Well, he makes a grunting noise.
There's some interesting stuff from this teaser. You see that he has an AI chip that he puts into his helmet, which we're supposed to believe is Cortana. And I'm not going to spoil anything from Halo 5, but some things have to happen for that to make sense. So I'm very curious to see how they wrap up some of that. Yeah, it's a brand new engine called Slipspace, right?
Yeah.
I believe is the name of the new engine. So this is,
it looks great.
This is a brand new gaming engine, possibly next gen. We have no real information on that, but this is probably a next gen title. We may not see this on the Xbox One.
I will say, though, that new gaming engine looks absolutely gorgeous, and they were really driving that home. I'm really curious to see what else they're planning on using that for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can it be current gen? That'd be great.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying it can't be, right? But this game, with it being a brand new engine, I imagine has been in development for quite some time. And if the Xbox only has 3 years of life left, do they want to release this in the last year or two of the console's life? Or do they want to launch the new Xbox with Halo Infinite?
That's always a tough decision, but I feel like a lot of times this is what we see. We'll see them launch it on the current gen, and then they'll do a re-release on the new gen.
Microsoft has never done that with a Gears game or a Halo game.
So you think they're going to wait?
These are the two big franchises that Microsoft has. And one of the issues Microsoft has had with the current generation and why it did so well in the previous generation is how it's handled its games, its first-party games, its exclusive games. In the 360 era, it just had so many titles all the time. Yeah. And in this case, it doesn't. We have Halo 5. Halo 5 was an earlier release for the Xbox One, and we have Gears 4, which came out about a year and a half ago now, a little bit more than that, in 2016. And that's what we've had really in this generation. So while it sounds nice to have another Halo game in this generation, I think Gears 5 will be, right? Because Gears 5 is going to come out next year. But I don't think Halo Infinite will. I will be very surprised if Halo Infinite comes out and is playable on an Xbox One, unless I have a caveat.
It's probably going to be on the X.
I do think that whatever this next generation is, I'm going to call it Xbox Z. I think this game will release on Xbox Z with compatibility on the X.
Gotcha.
Now, maybe it'll be downgraded graphics or lower frame rate or something like that. But I find it hard to believe that they're building a brand new engine for Halo of all franchises, the franchise that basically that did. I mean, it launched the Xbox. Mm-hmm. This is the Xbox franchise. For them to launch a brand new Halo game in the last 18 months of a console generation, I don't see that happening. But to add on top of that, that it's a brand new gaming engine. Why would you develop a brand new gaming engine for a console that's almost done?
I understand your point, but at the same time, it's kind of ridiculous to expect us to replace the machine we just bought.
But you didn't just buy it. The Xbox One is 5 years old.
So by 2021, it'll be 8 years old.
Right. And that's normal. That's a normal life cycle.
I know, but it just seems like they held on the 360 so much longer.
The 360 era, the PS3, the Wii, and the 360 were the longest generation. But that's not going to happen super often when we have this kind of iterative phase. And Microsoft has learned a lot from the Xbox One. The original Xbox was bulky. People joked about how it looked like a VCR. There were some technical problems with it where the NIC wasn't necessarily great. So they refined it. You got the S, which I upgraded to. And they brought the power unit from the giant brick finally inside. Yeah. And they added a 4K Blu-ray player. And they decided to, you know, to hell with the Kinect. Forget it. It's a failed experiment. I think, and then they decided to go with the X and create a premium 4K console. But is there enough content for that? Is there enough need for it right now when you can get the S for $200?
I think they should definitely develop. I think it would be a lost opportunity if they didn't develop it to work on the X at the minimum.
It's a possibility, right? Because then what they can do is they can launch, you know, the Z or whatever they call it, and then discount the X and keep people, you know, in the Microsoft ecosystem, mm-hmm, while they phase out the S. And
because I think people who just bought the X this year, you know, that's 4 years. You're telling me that in 4 years I have to buy a new one? Like, I'd be kind of pissed. So
that's kind of my point. You and I are not Xbox One X owners. Xbox One X owners are the diehard Xbox fans. These are hardcore gamers who care very deeply about resolution, about power, who want the latest and the greatest. Having that for 3 or 4 years, I think, is something most of them are going to understand, because technology moves too quickly, right? When a console's released, that's already outdated technology. Yeah. When a console launches. Okay? We know that. And the people buying the X either have money to burn or they're experts on this type of stuff. And they understand that this is already the third iteration of a console that's been out since 2013. If you bought an X and you believed that you had 8 years in the X before something else was going to come out, that I believe is on you.
That, and that is why I am waiting. I will obviously not be buying an X.
And that's fine. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's up to you as the gamer to make that decision. For me, you know, games like Gears of War, that has me interested in moving up to 4K HDR gaming, right? That's interesting to me now because these games are starting to look like maybe I'll notice the difference. But I have the S. I'm very happy with the S. And, you know, maybe I don't need anything else until the next gen. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on from Microsoft. We still got a lot to cover. I'm going to jump over to Sony.
You're just going to skip Nintendo?
No, I'm leaving Nintendo for last because we got a lot to talk about in Nintendo.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to go ahead and just get out there. Finally, some Last of Us 2 gameplay. Finally. I mean, we saw a very brutal trailer a few months ago.
Dude, that was like a year ago.
Wow. See, it seems like it was that so much that we saw like a year ago a brutal trailer, which had some pretty adult themes. And finally, we get to see this. And this one, boy, it does not hold back. What did you think of that trailer?
It's brutal. I don't call it a trailer because it's like a 12-minute video.
It's a gameplay. It's showcasing the gameplay. But it starts off as a cinematic.
It does. The graphics are amazing.
Dude.
It just looks incredible. The way that she interacts with, like, the leaves and the plants and stuff in the forest when she's, you know, crawling around and everything like that is just super impressive. It seems like the environment is more interactive now that she can, you know, jump over things, climb on things, go under the truck when she's trying to hide. I thought was just really cool. How when she's in, I guess, like, that like, drugstore, grocery store, where she like can slip in between those two parts of the cabinets. Mm-hmm. Like in a video game, you would see that and be like, well, you can I can't get through there, but
yeah.
There's an invisible wall here. Like she can go through that.
I want to add the parrying is super cool. It looks like there's a lot more dodging mechanics going on, which is awesome.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah, when that guy comes at her in, I guess that's a parking garage, and she, like, leans back so the knife misses. Like, whoa. Like, that's all gameplay, and it just looks really sophisticated.
It's great. And just when you think, you're like, Last of Us is an excellent game, and there is very few things you can really do to improve on it. And they did, man. They did. It looks great. And I cannot wait, and I know everyone else who's listening and everyone else in the world is all over Last of Us is nuts, but seriously, I cannot wait to see this chapter, because if they can bring the same kind of emotion and the story that they brought the first time, which I have no doubt Naughty Dog can, because they just are golden. They're a golden studio right now. They can't mess up.
Don't jinx them, man.
No, dude, I don't think this will definitely not be a miss. No way. No way. By what we saw, they were able to showcase something really good. So, yeah. I'm excited. It looks great. We're all excited. 2019. So, mid. I'm thinking summer release for that.
Maybe. You know, we have, you know, no real information on that yet. I would be fine with that.
I do not think they're going to do a spring, because then it has to go up against Spider-Man. And they don't want to do that.
No, Spider-Man's in the fall.
Is it of this year?
Yeah. Spider-Man comes out in like September, October.
Oh, yes, you're right.
So it would have to go up. If it comes out in the spring, it's going up against Anthem, Crackdown 3, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Kingdom Hearts was the one, yeah.
Days Gone.
They won't do that. Oh, that's what it was. Days Gone, because Days Gone is supposed to be their survival zombie game, and they're not going to release two zombie games back to back like that.
And that's fine.
Well, and something, but yeah. So that's, you know, that's something to consider.
The Last of Us is one of those games that can release whenever that wants to.
It sets the market.
I mean, it does. It does. It really does. I mean, it has earned that right because of how good the first one was, and because of that and what we've seen of this one, it could release whenever it wants to.
And it'll be a hit.
And
yeah.
If anything, other studios will move their releases to get away from it.
I think that would be smart.
So, So I wouldn't, I mean, they can release this one at any time. When it's ready to go, they can release it.
You know what? It definitely, it might even be sooner. We don't really know. So, everyone's stoked, everyone's excited, and they did a really good job on showcasing, what they've added, and it's very good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something I'm super passionate and excited about. Finally, we've been talking about the Resident Evil 2 remake, and this is a completely redone game. This is not like we made the graphics better. No, they completely redid the game, redid the mechanics. It is coming out January of 2019. We've been talking about this for 2 years, and it's been rumored. It's actually been very quiet. It's happening. I'm so stoked. Did you see that trailer?
I did not watch the Resident Evil trailer. Sorry. This is the one I missed.
They drive survival horror just the right way. They did it just perfectly. So for those who have played Resident Evil 6, it looks like it's going to have similar mechanics. So you can move around and shoot, which has always been a problem. The camera angle is directly behind the character, Leon. You will have Claire's campaign, just like in the original. The map will be exactly like the original, except things will be in different places. So you're actually, I've played that game probably 10 times, right? Like, I know where things are exactly. They're not going to be that way. So they're bringing new things to people who have played that game a lot. And the graphics are just... they're great, man. They're using a new engine as well. I don't have that information on hand, but they're using something new. Dude.
Yeah, I've never really gotten into the Resident Evil games. I had, I think it was 4.
4 is that came excellent.
Out. Yeah, I think it was 4.
That's a great game. That's more of an adventure action game more than anything else. That's regarded one of the best, actually the best Resident Evil game of all time. This one for me is top, and I'm so excited about this game, man. Like, it looks like they basically just, they finally gave us what we needed out of 6. You know, 6 was, it had three different campaigns following different characters, and one of them was Leon's, which was the best one, and now we're just getting Leon, a whole game of Leon doing his thing, and it happens to be nostalgic as well. So I cannot wait. So very pumped about that. Moving on. Spider-Man, dude, we finally got some gameplay. What do you think?
Look, it looks impressive, right? It's a beautiful looking game. It definitely looks like they took the concepts from, you know, the Spider-Man 2 game and made them current generation. I'm moderately interested in it because it looks so good.
It's basically Arkham.
That's about all I've got.
It's basically Arkham. Like, it's the fighting style is exactly like Arkham. And that's not a bad thing. Rocksteady broke records, won awards. They did a lot of good stuff with those fighting mechanics. So why wouldn't you want to have those kind of mechanics for a character that's nimble? So I think it looks cool. And I'm not a Spider-Man fan, guys. I don't like Spider-Man, but I think this one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks good. It does look good. And it comes out this year, right? This is one of the games that comes out soon. And so, you know, you can play it in September, I think. So
that's great. And I know it's very hyped. I know everyone's really pumped. There's going to be over 30 different suits with different gear. It's going to have a gearing system where you can pick new tech to put in your suits and mix and match. It will probably be free roam, and there's just missions happening throughout the map, which probably is pretty huge. We don't know really any more than that because most of the trailer, the gameplay was him fighting his villains who got out. But yeah, so that's this year. One of the few games we talked about today that's coming out this year. Square Enix, I'm going to move on.
I just want to point out.
Yeah.
That's all you have to talk about for Sony.
I mean, that's all I want to talk about for Sony.
And you think that that's a better press conference than Microsoft's or Bethesda's?
I think Resident Evil was big, and I think Last of Us obviously was the biggest.
except that we already knew The Last of Us 2 was coming, and we'd already seen cinematics from it, and Microsoft and Bethesda showed way more new stuff.
Okay, okay, you swayed me. You're right. Bethesda was better. I put my foot in my mouth. I thought about it more. I'm like, yeah, I totally discredited Starfield. I totally discredited Starfield. It's because we didn't have much info on it.
Well, yeah, I think Bethesda wins with Elder Scroll and Starfield, and Microsoft wins with Halo Infinite and the fact that they bought 5 indie studios. I mean, that was something we kind of just glossed over, but I should frame it correctly. They bought 4 and they created a 5th studio, which is just kind of unreal.
Well, these are big studios too. I mean, these are studios that's produced some pretty good games. So these are not.
Yeah. We should just to mention. So Microsoft bought Compulsion Games, Undead Labs, Ninja Theory, and Playground Games. And Playground Games are the ones who make the Forza Horizon games. And then they created a new studio that they're calling The Initiative. So like that's huge. It's really Microsoft showing that they have every intention of
bringing more
increasing.
Stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if you look at the track record, you guys should go look it up. Some of these developers, they've made some good games for us in the past. So State of Decay was Undead Labs. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing right now on Microsoft. Everyone's been playing State of Decay for a long time. So that's just one of the big titles that I feel. I think the biggest one though was Ninja Theory, and Ninja Theory made the game of the year runner-up, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. Although it's a AA game, was up for game of the year. So mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that's a really big deal to say, hey, we just bought these guys out, and they created a game that was runner-up for game of the year. So, or it was game of the year.
But all right, so Square Enix did next to nothing. They shot themselves in the foot by announcing things in other conferences or just like randomly releasing information throughout the week.
Their Tomb Raider segment was nice.
Yeah, we saw a trailer for Tomb Raider and it looks good, but it's a Tomb Raider game and it looks like a Tomb Raider game and that's great because that's what it's supposed to be. But that's literally like all that they had.
They showcased some combat and some mechanics, but really it didn't look more different than any of the other. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It was kind of like, here's the best we can come up with to Last of Us. This is the best we can get. Cause it kind of had that vibe, right? Like, she kind of looks like Ellie, older Ellie. Like, you kind of had this vibe, but you're like, it's not quite there.
No, I mean, I guess I didn't really think about it that way. It was more of just, we knew a Tomb Raider, we knew Shadow of the Tomb Raider was coming, and it looks exactly what we thought it was going to look like. Which is not bad. Like, I don't mean that to be a bad thing, right? Because sometimes you want what you were expecting, and I think this is an example of don't fix what isn't broken. But when that's all that they have, because they've given away everything else earlier in the week, it's just, why were they even there?
I agree.
I mean, I guess they announced Neo 2, which, I mean, fine.
And Kingdom Hearts is a big one. Everyone's been all over Kingdom Hearts.
But they didn't have any new information, really.
Yeah.
they announced the release date in the middle of the night.
And we saw a trailer of stuff that we expected already. Like, oh.
They already told us, like, oh.
Exactly. I was like, oh, he's been in the Frozen universe. Oh, wow.
Like, we already knew this stuff.
Take him to Star Wars. It's all Disney. Eventually. I'm kidding. So we're going to move on because we're running short on time here. Ubisoft had a very good conference. A big one, I think, let's just talk about their showcase, was Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Holy shit, another Assassin's Creed game that quick? Yes. And this one actually takes place in Greek times, right? It's literally right after the Spartan and I forget war. But literally right after 300. They drive that 300 vibe home the whole way. You can Sparta kick people off ledges. You could Sparta kick during battle. It looks awesome. The map is huge. The game, they said openly, this is not like your traditional Assassin's Creed accurate to history type of game. There is mythical creatures. This is a Greek adventure. And I'm appreciative of that. I love Greek mythology, and I'm excited to play this. One of the biggest things for me that's really exciting, and I think they took this cue from the Lord of the Rings game. What was that one?
Shadow of War?
Thank you. Where you're fighting particular generals mid-combat to take over a specific piece of land. So there's a dynamic in this game where they've left everything open to choice. So countries will crumble and fall if you choose the wrong side, kind of thing. And part of the mechanics is there, when that country falls, there is a war, a flat out war on the ground happening, and you can be in the middle of it. And in the middle of it, there are generals, there are bigger bosses, or you can fight the smaller level guys, but either way. So if you catch the general, you kill the general, the war ends. That war ends. So it's really cool command, mechanic, and I'm really excited to play it. You get to play the lead as a female or a male, but like I said, the whole game is based upon, you know, what you choose. So your story can be completely different each way.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
I'm actually going to buy this one. Origins was cool, but I'm just not really, the Egypt thing doesn't really stand out to me. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, see, my favorite two civilizations are ancient Egypt and ancient Greece, and they did these back-to-back for me. As they basically have rebooted to move to more of a traditional RPG, which I'm more interested in. So I'm very excited about Odyssey, and so much so that I will be, the next game I am starting is Origins. I got it on PC. That's the next game I'm going to be playing, so I can be ready for Odyssey. I am stoked. I cannot wait. It just looks amazing. I'm really excited for Ancient Greece, and the branching paths to be able to make decisions and interact a little bit more is just, that's what I want. Right? That's why I'm a big fan of the Elder Scrolls games and things of that nature. This feels a little bit closer to that, but it's its own thing still. So looks great.
I think they gave someone else a different shot. They took in and said, we're going to do something a little different. And I like that. So I think it's going to pay off. This is going to be a good one. Not discrediting Origins. I haven't played it, and it's just not appealing to me, but I know it's a good game, and I have a lot of excitement surrounding this one. So, all right, let's talk about Nintendo. We're going to machine gun it now. Nintendo, holy shit. Holy shit, Nintendo. Ever since the Switch, I feel like they don't stop. They just continue to just think of things all day long. Go ahead, man. Dive in there. What is your biggest... There's so many things.
I don't know. I don't think Nintendo did that
really
amazing.
When you announced like 30 games that are coming out,
but most of them we either already knew about or are not necessarily exclusives, and a lot of indie titles, which is a positive thing, but like the big stuff was Super Mario Party and Super Smash Brothers. Huge. Those were the two big things. Everything else, I mean, yeah, Fortnite being available
that was
day,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
very unexpected.
I've already downloaded it. We'll talk about that. I guess we're basically out of time. We'll talk about Fortnite next time. Having Fallout Shelter come, that was announced to be on Switch and PS4 now. That's out there. Super Mario Party looks cool, right? You can attach two Switches to each other, so you can connect the screens. And have four-player local play. It's the first console Mario Party game since 2015, which is cool. Then there's Smash Brothers, and Smash Brothers is really what they focused on. It's like a 20-25 minute presentation on Smash Brothers, where we've got Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It includes every single character who has ever been in a Smash Brothers game. Yes, that includes Ice Climbers, which I'm very, very excited about. And yes, it somehow includes Snake.
I
don't know. I
thought that was really cool.
I don't know. I don't know how they got Sony to agree to that, or Konami to agree to that, whoever has the rights there. But he's back, which is super cool. They announced some new characters like Daisy. Daisy is an Echo Fighter to Peach. So that's really cool. She looks great. And they announced Ridley, which is Samus's arch enemy in Metroid. So Ridley's in there now, the giant flying dinosaur creature with the xenomorph tail. The game looks awesome. The graphics look great. The levels look great. Having all of the characters in there sounds like a lot of fun. The progression system sounds exciting. So I'm stoked for it. I really, really am. I did not get my prediction. I had predicted that they were going to announce a new third-party character, and that would be Rayman. The reason I thought that was that they have been adding third-party characters like Snake, Sonic, Pac-Man. And so I thought they would do that again here. And I thought it would be Rayman because Nintendo and Ubisoft have been doing a lot of partnerships. You had the Mario plus Rabbids, yep, Kingdom Battles game, which is a Ubisoft title with Mario characters. And they're going to have the Donkey Kong Adventures DLC added to it. And then Ubisoft has Star Fox and the R-Wing in the Switch version of Starlink Battle for Atlas that comes out this fall. So in my head, I'm like, well, this is perfect. Ubisoft and Nintendo are gelling so well together. Who could they put in the Smash Brothers? And I didn't want to see a Rabbid, but Rayman. Now that could be really interesting. He could still be DLC, man. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But I was a little disappointed that the big announcements of the new characters were all first-party characters. The internet's very unhappy that Waluigi is still not in the game.
I don't know why. He's not even that great.
Well, he's a weird character, though, because he's only ever been in the sports games.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have his own title. He doesn't show up in the Wario games. He's just kind of like, hey, let's play some tennis.
Well, he's like that stepchild that no one likes because he's like a mixture. He's just, you know what I mean? He's just a weird character.
Yes, he is a very weird character.
Like, he's like one of the ones that should not have been created, but they said we needed him anyway.
But yeah, but that's it, though. That's all we got. There's really nothing else that Nintendo said that was super exciting.
So you're right. I'm just saying they just announced so much. I almost feel like it was a little bit of overload. It's like, we're going to throw all these titles at you. And they did.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a lot of information. Yeah.
I actually thought you'd be pumped over Overcooked 2.
I am. Because
I know you talked a lot about Overcooked 2. You liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. The new one looks fantastic. But it's not a Nintendo exclusive. You can get it on Xbox. I'll get it on Switch just personally. But I guess having Killer Queen come to Switch is really exciting. It's the first console release of Killer Queen, which is historically this really massive multiplayer arcade game. So I'm curious to see how that works on a console. But, you know, I guess we'll have to
see. It'll be great on Switch, honestly. I think those type of games will do really well on Switch.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, that was a surprise. Having Fortnite come out that day was kind of interesting. It's not like we didn't expect it, you know, Fortnite to do something crazy this time around, but that was quick. So they had been working on that pretty diligently. And we played that. I've played that a lot the past few days, or a couple days. We'll talk about that more in depth on the next episode. Is there anything else you want to cover, Derek?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. You know, lots of interesting stuff. I think that Bethesda and Microsoft kind of brought the biggest information and the most spectacle. But there's a lot of games to be excited about. You know, just running through the list between just going straight down. Doom Eternal, Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 76, Starfield, Wolfenstein, Youngblood, Anthem, Battlefield 5, Battletoads, Crackdown 3, Forza Horizon 4, Gears of War 5, Halo Infinite, Super Mario Party, Super Smash Bros., The Last of Us Part 2, Resident Evil 2, Spider-Man, Kingdom Hearts 3, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Starlink. Like, that's, it's just the list games goes on right and there. On. You know, and that's not everything. It's so not everything. We've left a bunch of stuff off of this list that we just don't have time to get to.
Yeah, yeah. So either way, they're we're definitely going to be spending a lot of money in 2019 on games.
it's going to be a big year, I think.
But yeah, if you want to go ahead and shamelessly plug this, we'll close up this podcast.
Yeah, all right. Well, so that was our big E3 wrap-up coverage. Thank you for joining us. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at The Star Trek Dude. John is at Buster Props if you want to talk to him. And you can find us, Gamer Heroes, on the Heroes Podcast Network at Heroes Podcasts, which is plural, at Twitter and Instagram, as well as heroespodcasts.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, anywhere else that you get your podcasts. So subscribe today, drop us a review. We appreciate that, and we will read your review on an episode if you drop us one. So please do that, and we will be back in a couple of weeks. This episode was off schedule, so we will be back at our normal time in like a week.
You got it. All right, guys, as always, game on.